the Old Testament lesson for the 10th Sunday after Trinity. It's written in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. The 7th chapter, excuse me. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The blessed Lord's Day to all of you here, dear ones. I can't tell you how comforting it is to be here with you and to see all your faces in this holy house of God, to be among the company of the redeemed in this place. It's a joyous thing, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Nothing. I've prepared a bit of a sobering homily today based on our gospel text, but it's one I think that you'll find to be edifying nonetheless. What I want to focus on in my homily to you today is our Savior's reaction at seeing the city of Jerusalem just prior to the events of his passion, and especially how Christ wept and spoke of the things that make for peace, things that were in fact hidden from the eyes of the people there. And Jesus says, in effect, that they were blind to these things. They were blind to the things that make for peace, and not just any kind of peace, certainly not a worldly peace, but peace with God. And our Lord's reaction in this way during his visitation of the city is very much worthy of our meditation today. Because it was, in fact, with an outstretched and strong arm that God in Christ Jesus had visited his people there in Jerusalem and elsewhere in the Holy Land, and had done many, many great and mighty works, delivering them from their enemies, from their afflictions, as it is written that he would in the prophets. When Jesus was met, for example, with certain demon-possessed men, men who were completely helpless to save themselves, gripped as they were by the forces of darkness, Jesus casts out these unclean spirits with a word. The demons were no match for him whatsoever. And so also when Christ encountered the many, many people suffering from chronic illnesses, from debilitating disease, it took only a moment for him to make them whole, to restore them. And Holy Scripture bears witness to him in this way, bending and transforming creation back to be like what it was before sin came into the world, before it was governed by death and decay. Christ rebukes a deadly fever in Simon's mother-in-law, and it leaves her. The paralytic who was let down through the roof and laid before our Lord, Christ makes him to rise and walk home a new man. The poor gentleman with a withered hand, Christ restores him. The woman hemorrhaging blood for 12 years, healed. The lepers cleansed. Even the dead are raised. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever he is and goes, there the reign of God, the kingdom of God, truly was. But when our Lord draws near and lays his eyes on Jerusalem, he weeps. Our Savior simply weeps and laments at what he sees. He echoes and even adds to the lament he voiced a little earlier in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, where he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children as a hen gathers her brood, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken." Christ sees in Jerusalem, dear ones, a rebellious and idolatrous house that would not listen to him or to any of the servants whom God himself sent to visit them in his mercy again and again and again. His people would not hear them and turn from the wickedness of their ways. And sadly, this is nothing new. For from the days of old, they had been consecrated unto the Lord. They'd been set apart by him and for him, out of pure grace, to be unto him a holy nation, a people of his very own possession, through whom the light of his glory would shine to all the world and draw men from every nation to find their salvation in him. That's what they were to be, He brought them into his life-giving presence in the temple and the tabernacle before that, and he'd visit them in completely astonishing ways, delivering them from their enemies and every affliction that they suffered. And yet, despite all these things, God's people so often plunged headfirst into idolatry. They despised the Lord, who opened to them the priceless treasures of his kindness. And so, over and again, in his mercy and faithfulness to his promises, the Lord would visit his people in and through the prophets, whom he sent to speak his word to them, so that they would turn from the wickedness of their ways, and so they'd be at peace with him once more. But they would not. And amid their rebellion, if you can even believe this, and amid their idolatry, before they were punished, they imagined that they had peace with God, when the truth was, there was no peace. There was no peace. Only judgment to fall on them on every side. We heard from the prophet Jeremiah earlier in our Old Testament lesson today. He witnessed with his own two eyeballs God's people taken hundreds of miles away into exile in Babylon, along with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And of course, before Jeremiah's time, in like manner, the wayward northern kingdom of Israel smashed and destroyed by the Assyrians, utterly wiped away. And even before that, because of the great lawlessness during the time of the judges, then too, the house of Israel was forsaken by God. And the Lord gave the Ark of the Covenant at Shiloh into the hands of the Philistines, the sworn enemies of God's people. And so you see, then, dear ones, how terrible it is to be blind to the things that make for peace with God. Blindness to the need for repentance, the need for his forgiveness and mercy, the need to cling to him with all your heart, and to receive those who preach these things to you in his name. There can be no doubt that blindness to these things runs deep in the history of God's people. And you see also, no doubt, why then the Lord Jesus weeps over the blindness he sees in Jerusalem, and also the destruction that would fall on her as a result. And this is really an important thing to understand about the Lord Jesus and about all the prophets. And I hope that you come away really with this in your mind very clearly. The prophets not only see what will unfold while it's still a long way off, but they also see the true nature of what is unfolding before their very eyes, and what that will lead to in the end. That's what the prophets see. So when Christ sees the chief priests and the temple officials and the principal men of the people devoting themselves to money, defiling the temple with their greed and lust for temporal gain, profaning and polluting what was consecrated to be a house of prayer, and making it a den of robbers, Christ sees what finally will come. And come it did. For Jesus sees that they've rejected the one true God, which means that they would reject him as his only begotten Son, their King, their Christ, and their Lord. He knows Jerusalem will seek to humiliate and destroy him by way of a Roman cross. And Jesus also knows, though, the resultant humiliation and destruction that will come upon them in 70 AD by way of the Roman legions. And I would humbly pose to you this day, dear ones, this question: is there any idol or unclean thing that has profaned the temple of your heart, which you know that he sees and laments, and which you both know will lead to destruction in the end? Have you feared, loved, and trusted in money, medicine, your property, or politicians more than the Lord your God? If you find this to be the case, dear ones, return with haste to the cleansing waters of your baptism. For the Lord visits you this day in his word and sacrament and in the gifts and blessings that he so freely gives you. And at the font here, we've all been cleansed from the wickedness of sin by the washing of water in the word. And there we were consecrated to him, for him, and by him, to be his royal priests, a holy nation unto him, and even temples of the triune God. And out of pure grace and unimaginable mercy, you have been adopted as sons of the living God in Christ, in him who comes in the name of the Lord and who bled and died for your salvation. And there is then no place for any idol or unclean thing to take up residence in your heart. Only the blessed teachings of our Savior should do that. And we rightly fear, love, and trust in God above all things, for he has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I want to make just one more brief point, too, based on Christ's example in our text. It's a minor one, but I think you'll agree it's certainly one worth pointing out. And that's that when you, as faithful, repentant Christians, see and lament the idolatry and the hard-heartedness of your family members, your friends, your city, your country, you're doing a good work. And you need to know that. Christ shows us today this very thing, and he reveals to us the heart of our Heavenly Father, that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their evil ways and live. Take heart in this, dear ones, and to Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.